This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Cam, and continuing our conversation really about things that take place in Parliament. Our next story is something that we covered briefly in Popit Popit Parliament yesterday, and if you didn't manage to catch it, there was an uproar among some Sabah and Sarawak lawmakers, as well as opposition MPs, in response to the proposed amendments to honour the Malaysia Agreement 1963, which is perhaps better known as ME63.
So the amendments were meant to restore the status of Sabah and Sarawak to become equal partners in Peninsular Malaysia as a whole, which is the understanding that many people hold about what was stated in MA63. There's a historical context here. Back in 1976, there was a constitutional amendment that was seen to downgrade Sabah and Sarawak status from being, and I quote, equal members of the Federation to mere states, like all the other states in Peninsular Malaysia.
Right. And what seems to be the issue with the current bill that was presented for the amendment, which was read for the first time in Parliament yesterday, is that it sort of placed Sabah and Sarawak under a different subclause. So it reads as follows: the states of the Federation shall be A, Johor, Kedah, Kelantan, and so on and so forth; B, Sabah and Sarawak. So a bunch of MPs stood up in the Dewan Rakyat yesterday to say that this amendment is just window dressing and that it's not comprehensive enough, and quite literally even downgrade Sabah and Sarawak to a B now.
I am one of those Peninsular Malaysia Malaysians who's shamefully ignorant of Sabah and Sarawak thing. But my Sabahan, especially Sabahan friends, have been educating me over the years. And I have, yes, I have come to understand very much the pain that is felt by the constant lowering of the status of Sabah and Sarawak in the Federation of Malaysia.
Yeah. And the question then, I suppose, is that with this bill, is this an amendment that honours either the spirit or the letter, right, of the promise that was meant to restore them to equal status? And so that is a question that remains to be seen. To get a perspective from someone who was in Dewan Rakyat itself, we're going to cross over now to Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP of Bandar Kuching. Thank you so much for joining us. Talk to us about the proposed amendment by the Cabinet. The MPs who opposed the bill for the amendment claims that it's just not comprehensive enough. They use that term window dressing. What are your thoughts?
I think basically the intention for the proposed amendment is actually to restore the original spirit of the formation of Malaysia that was based on MA63, which is the Malaysian Agreement 1963. So in order to restore the original spirit, we actually based the interpretation or the amendments on the original wordings of the Constitution in 1963. So the current amendment is to restore the original spirit of the formation of Malaysia, what our federation is like, excluding, of course, Singapore. So the opposition that was raised by opposition MPs claiming that it is only window dressing, I believe that some of the points that they're raising, that it does not address issues such as resources sharing, address issues such as greater autonomy, and so on and so forth. So the argument is that the current amendment is only focused mainly on Article 1.2, which deals with the status, and it does not deal with other categories or criteria, including resources sharing, which is other articles, including 112D, including the constitutionality of the Petroleum Development Act, or even the Territoriality Act 2012. So all these other amendments to whether the Constitution or to other bills will be further discussed in the Special Cabinet Committee 1963, and subsequent amendments, if necessary, will be made. But the current amendment, the spirit of it, is basically to restore to the original spirit of the Malaysian Agreement 1963.
A special cabinet steering committee was set up to review the MA63. To your knowledge, was this amendment made out of conclusive discussions among the committee?
I think based on the statement made by the de facto law minister, YB Dato' Liew Wee Keong, he mentioned that both chief ministers from Sabah and Sarawak was informed of this amendment during the committee itself. And based on his statement, they actually agreed to the amendment. I think there is a clear understanding among them that this amendment was basically a first step amendment in order to restore other rights that are enshrined in MS-63 that have been eroded over the years. So this has always been a first step amendment rather than an amendment that will solve all the issues or restore all the rights that have been lost over the years.
If the current amendment is passed, what practical implications would it have for Sabah and Sarawak?
I think what is most important is that there is a restoration of the original spirit of the formation of Malaysia, how the federation was in 1963. Because our forefathers, our previous leaders, they envisioned a federation where there was equitable sharing of resources. There is a federation where everybody could prosper and get the adequate security. However, we know over the years, there were a lot of breaches of this agreement. There were a lot of unfair treatments to the state, to Sabah and Sarawak over the years. So in order to restore all that, that will require time. But every journey, we need to take the first step. So by restoring that, we restore the status as of 1963, as well as the spirit to return back, to kind of do a refreshing start so that we can correct all the other infringes that happened over the years.
As for the MPs who are opposing the bill, what is it that they're hoping to see instead of the amendment?
I think I wouldn't fully discount their opposition and some of the points that are raised because it is not without merits. I think one of the main things they want to see is a clear definition of the term equal partners or equal status in the federation, as well as they want to know how that will involve the other matters that is important, including resources sharing, including revision of special grants, including taxes, and even the constitutionality of bills that limit the owning of resources in Sabah and Sarawak. So I think these are the few concerns that have been raised up. But as I mentioned before, all these are of different amendments, of different articles, of different even schedules. So those amendments will come in place once the Special Cabinet Committee comes out with a report for the Cabinet. But currently, we are focused on the Article 1-2, which is the first step that we want to take to restore that status so that further discussions regarding the returning of rights will be at a different platform, that we are not just discussing on the platform of the 13 states, but we are discussing on the platform that we are at our rightful status that was recognized in the Federation in 1963.
Can you sort of take us to the end goal that these amendments are supposed to have? And is everyone on the same page here?
I think there are, of course, different interpretations to what the amendments actually mean. But I think at the end goal is actually to restore what was infringed in MA63, because all the things that were infringed from MA63 is not due to just one amendment or even two. It is over the years, many amendments, many bills that were passed. So in order to do that, we need to take the first step. And to take the first step, we want to start with Article 1 itself, where the status of Sabah and Sarawak has to be recognized. I'll restore to what it is as of 1963. And the end goal is then we can slowly implement more and more of the rights that are enshrined in MS-63 in the Federation of Malaysia.
What would be the required amendments to restore the status of Sabah and Sarawak as equal partners to Peninsular Malaysia in a comprehensive way? And beyond amendments to the Constitution, what else has to be done?
I guess, of course, Article 1-2 has to be amended, which is the intention of this. Of course, there are people with different interpretation how it should be. Should it be right exactly how MA63 was, or the intention of the current amendments where we remove the Malayan state and Borneo states but give direct or specific recognition to Sabah and Sarawak itself rather than just a Borneo state, and of course with the exclusion of Singapore. But then, in order to give equal partners equal status, what is even more important is actually the equitable sharing of resources. the equitable development, which is definitely lacking in Sabah and Sarawak. Over the years, we have been left behind. We have been neglected. So in order to properly restore these equal partners or rightful standing within the Federation, it will require much more, including returning of our resources, the sharing of more development funds, as well as building of the more basic necessities in Sarawak. And that has to be addressed down the line with multiple amendments, as well, especially recognition of our natural resources in Sabah and Sarawak and the legality of our ownership to it. So all these are comprehensive steps that have to be taken eventually. But the Cabinet Committee is on that, and they're working on that with all the, not just politicians of one divide, but politicians of two divides, the state government of Sabah and Sarawak, legal minds of judges, the AG of the state, also the federal AG, as well as academicians and activists. So I'm optimistic that such a diverse and good representation in the Cabinet Committee could come up with a comprehensive report, which I really hope that the Cabinet will adopt and correct the wrongs that have been made over the years.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Kelvin. That was Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching.
At the risk of saying something about Sabah and Sarawak, because I find that if one does, you know, there's always a chance that some angry East Malaysian says, the part of the education, my education in understanding Sabah and Sarawak's hopes is that, and it's not just semantics, that it's important to understand that they saw it as being, and it's correctly as being, a co-equal partnership, that Sabah and Sarawak chose to join with Malaya to create a new country called Malaysia.
Yes.
And not the kind of West Peninsula story, which is that there was this country that was fully independent and that these two other states decided to join it.
Yes, which is what is in our history books, right? And I think, so it comes back to that idea of, it's a historical inequality at this point. It has spanned decades and it has increased that gap as time has gone on. So I think there is a level of mistrust involved as well that, hey, we're going to write it. Don't worry. We've got this.
Yeah.
And so there is a sense of, well, yes, but have you taken everything into account, really? You know, have you spoken to all the stakeholders?
Yes, yes. And I don't know, shown the correct level of respect.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at PFM Radio. Just finishing up, I guess, the last few messages that came through regarding lowering the voting age. Both Ao and KF says that there is nothing good to be gained from younger people being allowed to vote because they're too easily swayed. KF specifically saying, although I'm in my 20s, I'm strongly against this. Let's maintain the current structure, allow certain segments of sensible voters to vote. Huh? KF, I just don't know how you decide who's sensible. Yeah. I think that that's a very difficult mark to try and cross.
Yeah, yeah. You sort of measure the size of their skulls to see if it's like correct kind of brain poundage in there. Or something.
We're getting into very scary territory there. Jen is suggesting that perhaps something we could look at is the model of teaching philosophy, like in Germany and France. So instead of teaching politics alone, you teach philosophy, which covers a broad base of knowledge and includes elements of politics.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Although while we're in the process of fixing our education system,
do philosophy. Let's do it.
You think we're there?
Yeah.
And then Lam says, if an 18-year-old youth doesn't know what course to choose to study, it could be the case that an 88-year-old has been in the wrong profession his entire life. My point is, age doesn't limit one's knowledge and understanding, education does.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, there. I think that said it better than either of us did or could. Just to close off, we did receive two messages, kind of directly,
yes,
giving feedback about the show.
Yes, and could I read this, please?
Sure.
Apparently, and it's been noted. Why is Lynn, it says here, why is Lynn repeatedly cutting off her co-presenter, me, when she has a contrary opinion? Ah.
Followed by BFM is supposed to allow a balanced public conversation and it should start with the lead presenter.
And that's just the least of it. I get electric shocks in this studio when I'm saying something that they don't like.
Eddie, meanwhile, says Cam is bullying Lynn. So balanced conversation. So I'm just bringing this up to say,
folks,
it's our first show together. We're going to be doing this show together for the next week and a half or so, Cam deigns to come back in after this.
Yeah, providing I stop bullying and she stops cutting me off.
So. Exactly. So we're going to get there. Thank you very much for listening. After the 7:30 news, we're going to be headed to Skip Intro. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.